Click kaya959.co.za. This is how we
do it. To download the Point of View podcast. What to watch
on Point of View.
This is how we bring in the weekend with Leroy Mark in the studio. No better way than doing it this way. Hello,
yes,
Leroy.
Please, yes, please. Hello, Pam. How are you?
We are here.
Mm-hmm.
We are here.
Yes.
The country's still standing.
Mm-hmm.
The sky is still up there.
Uh-huh.
Nothing has fallen.
Well, one or two people have fallen.
Yeah, but the sky's still not...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the sky's still up there.
Mm.
And for that, we're grateful.
We're very grateful. You know what I've always wished for?
Mm-hmm.
Since I was a youngin' in the early days mm-hmm. of commissions of inquiry and mm-hmm. things, I look forward to...
I like how you slip that in.
All I want is to be suspended with pain, eh? But I want
anyway,
for my 13 years or so, 14 years or so.
You are kidding me.
That's all I've ever wanted. That job security, knowing what I'm suspending.
I think the grey hairs that come with that
yeah.
are hectic.
Listen, South Africa, I was asking you earlier on, when last did you go, hey Pam, how are things going? You go, yeah, it's a bit quiet.
No, but so you can I just talk about your selection?
Yes, please.
Because it ties in very nicely with this, right? So I think everybody knows how I feel about Tyler Perry.
they know how I feel about him.
I think everybody knows how I feel about Tyler Perry. And you know, I watched this thing, ne? And I thought, I got upset. First of all, I got so mad. I got so upset. I'm thinking, this guy, Harinki Sirias,
you know,
like really, really, and then I laughed at how upset I am
mm-hmm.
because it's so dumb.
Yeah,
it becomes funny.
That's
it got to the point where it's so stupid that it got funny.
You have to laugh.
Yes, you have no choice in the end but to just, you know what.
I watched it when it was released on Friday. And we had a whole thing set up. Him, I want you to understand it, that in my household, we had things set up. We bought popcorn.
Why did you do that to yourself?
You know what we said?
You knew what was coming.
So you see, my significant other actually loves the stuff.
Yeah. I kept thinking, okay. Because, you know, I really... Actually, this is very weird.
Yeah.
I like Tyler Perry.
Yeah, as a human.
Well, and I don't even know him.
Yeah.
But whatever it is that he, I don't know, this persona that he sold us, I like him.
Mm-hmm.
Marmadilla, ne? Hey. It's like this guy.
There's a real formula he uses, and I think we need to have a discussion about
why
this.
Why formula is a change? It's been how many years now?
For me, it's not even the cinematic formula. It's the fact that he doesn't actually script anything. So there's a loose script for his other actors, and Madea doesn't come in. And they sort of do it by the fly, because there's so many times where you see the small things where they speak over each other, or you see an actor literally corpsing.
So watching. I want to know whether... Urle formula. You called it a formula.
Well, yeah.
Is it a formula? Because I'm curious, right? Because I'm thinking, okay. So after, like, say, 10... How long has it been? 10 years, maybe?
Yeah, more than
10 years now. I don't know. Like, maybe... I know you know better. Mm. I know you can do this better.
Mm-hmm.
So what's this? Is this because you think we like it?
So it's a Leon Schuster. It's a Leon Schuster.
Yeah, but even Leon Schuster was supposed to get better, Akir.
But that's my point, Hori.
Even Khanyani, you just...
I
get it, but didn't she?
I mean, I think he knows that he doesn't need to do much. I think for him, he feels like, actually, from a financial point of view, this thing reaps results. Tyler Perry Studios is churning this thing out a chock-a-block. My significant other does this, loves the series. There's a bunch of series that have come from the
Nyane.
from the studio, yeah, but like several. Understand that there's one where
is it this kind of stuff?
Yeah,
or
not,
is there another formula?
Not comedic, but it's a sort of
it's a drama.
You want to have an election bioscope,
yeah,
ne?
Yeah.
And then you put it on a glossy BET sort of platform. That's what you're seeing, because the content is where the acting is atrocious, just from a timing point of view.
It's so terrible.
Stereotyping of characters, yes. And all, and then it's all six packs and dark skinned handsome men. There's
What was the other one that he did with Janet? Is that kind of thing?
Why Did I Get Married? One, yes, Why Did I Get Married?
Is
two.
It that kind
but you
of
see,
thing?
Even then, Why Did I Get Married at least had some.
Yeah, with Latifah. It wasn't bad.
Not with Integrity Nyana.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. Here, I think he's found a formula and he's churning it out at an alarming rate. This for me was, you know exactly what
I
you're got, getting.
No, I didn't know. Even for him. No.
All time low.
Listen, even for him, this was disrespectful. Until I decided, you know what? Get over yourself.
Yeah.
And just, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous that it's funny. So
for me,
I just got over myself.
For me, it's like, as you say, it's like an exercise of looking at not the story, not the content, but going.
Even for him, this was below par.
There's even a jump. There's a jump in the movie that I can't forgive. There's a jump in the movie I can't forgive, because in this movie, Madea goes on Destination Wedding, where Tyler Perry's ex-wife Deborah, that we meet in one of the other one of the other movies in the franchise, has now married Rich. But the metamorphosis is, the suspension of disbelief is so extreme, because remember, she was a drug addict in the last one. Literally a drug addict. And now she looks like one of the Real Housewives of Potomac or something. And again, it's how you go, Tyler, I know what you're doing and it's fine. I'm here for the ride. I expect nothing more.
But also, man, the disrespect, right? Like that plane. The set is so bad. So bad.
Yes.
That you think, okay, could you have at least tried? Just try.
One of the criticisms was that he churns out the series at an alarming rate. So there actually is no time for actors to actually sit with the content. Because.
For what? Because if he does, I mean, then it'll be better. Why would he do that?
Well. So if you look at how a soapy is, for instance, you know, a soapy, you get to be very close to your character. So you can almost live the character out without thinking too much. You know the tone, you know the pressure points. Here, if you need to watch this paper. It's actually heartbreaking because...
I've said my bit.
But I enjoyed it because...
You did?
Because, let me tell you why.
You did.
I knew it was Tyler Perry and Madea. So I wasn't expecting anything more, okay? I wasn't being sold, you know, a lamb dressed as mutton. Lana, I knew what you told mutton echatezing. And I watched half of it and I did the other half on Saturday.
I swear that other Madeas were better than this one.
Absolutely. Because I think Denny was trying to prove a point. Here is just, what's the new concept? Madea goes to the moon. Madea goes to jail. Madea goes to, you know, Hollywood. There's the concept itself doesn't change.
I have no words. I think you must have a glass of something stiff.
Very stiff.
When you drink. So that you don't take yourself seriously.
Yeah.
Let yourself go.
Yeah.
And laugh yourself sick.
My mom made a very interesting point. She says, this is the movie you play when you're going to be...
How that is stress. I want to like right now.
But also not about Chini. You guys want to sit down.
They're going to smack
you. You know, and Bachaki is like, maybe it's your aunt from Kurumani and my grandmother from Zirasti. And you want them to watch something that we can all watch and, you know, it's safe enough for us to watch. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Try it out. Tell me what you think, Adley Remark. And yeah, if you hate it.
I'd love to hear what people are going to say. Because, oh boy, I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this is a very interesting one. Eddington.
Yeah, Eddington. So for me, this was interesting because.
Western, hey?
Yeah. Western.
Modern Western.
Yeah, but remember now, this is the big thing about this. This is set in COVID May.
Yeah.
The May of
absolutely.
COVID. So everything is closed. We're learning about this pandemic. The information is changing. It's dynamic. Dr. Fauci is saying things online. Our Zweli Mkhize are saying things online. We're all hearing about ivermectin and all those buzzwords. So that's where we set up, in a small town in New Mexico. This town has about 3,000 inhabitants. Very, very white and very quiet, very sleepy. Almost nothing happens here. There's this AI sort of building field that is being built under the endorsement, and you know the mayor went to go get the tender to come to the city to develop the city and give jobs. However, the sheriff, not the mayor, is caught not adhering to the mandates, the masking mandates, because he's an asthmatic and he just doesn't want to do this whole thing. And the sheriff is up for re-election. It's election season at the time, and the sheriff gets into some bad social media PR because everyone's like, "Why is Aparamaski?" And he says, "I don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on." And because he's having a really hard time, he decides to run for mayorship. At the same time, the George Floyd saga is happening in America. And so we're now seeing this protest coming into the city. So we're seeing in real time sort of these very strenuous things that happened in COVID. I was reminded that COVID was only 5 years ago.
No, true. I mean, you know? It's
so for me, what
it's
I love.
It's quite powerful. It's a powerful, it's very powerful.
And I love it because it also touches on the Black Lives Matter. And also about how even in modern day, you know, we look at the global north, especially the Americas, how we were, they were sitting in the midst of a COVID pandemic with the current president being president then, not having a clue what's going on. And people were dying and dropping like flies, and they were all trying to make sense of it while still trying to push the American agenda. It was so interesting to watch, especially because I thought I was going to hate it. I thought it was going to be all about how, you know, like a docudrama about how...
No. This is worth watching.
Absolutely worth watching.
Definitely worth
watching.
It's
in theaters as of tomorrow.
Superman is the talk of the town everywhere.
I'm at odds to understand why. Because it's Superman again. And the only thing that's different now is that the PR run has gone leant in very much on brand America, this whole idea of justice. And I think it's just because of the prevailing winds that are happening in the United States right now. The only difference now here is that Lex Luthor is doing what, if you do the parallels, what the American president is ostensibly trying to do in the Middle East, where Lex Luthor is looking to take over certain aspects of this land, and he's now sponsoring the country that's at war with this land so that he can get the minerals that he needs to develop this particular thing that he's developing. And so through a very big PR run, he's making Superman look bad because he has found the video that his parents, Carlisle, you know, Superman as a baby, when he landed on planet Earth, the video his parents sent him with. But the end of the video is corrupted, and he, Lex Luthor, makes it seem like his parents had other intentions by sending him to planet Earth. It's interesting to watch the different take on Superman, but honestly, you will not be surprised. The only thing that really got me very confused is his relationship with Lois Lane, because it seems to be very public. Everyone seems to know that he is Clark Kent, which is very confusing for me. And we're told, for those of us who are enthusiasts, that when Superman wears his glasses, they actually are magical, right? That the disguise is more than just wearing the glasses, something happens. Here, everyone makes the joke that, like, Superman or what? So it's interesting in that way, and I think it also tries to dismantle some of the holy grail myths about Superman. It is, everyone is watching it. It's been in theaters since last July. And yeah, Lex Luthor does a very good job of being a Donald Trumpian character.
Unicorns, I loved.
My favorite movie.
I loved Unicorns.
Wow, I was confused.
Were you?
I was confused. I was angry. Really? I was scared. Really? I was worried. Yeah.
Confused.
Confused, yeah.
Interesting.
Confused.
I loved it. Mm. And you know, I think we've had this conversation before where for some peoples who are not necessarily seen on mainstream media, it's so difficult to properly and honestly depict gays and lesbians, trans people. This was so beautiful.
I think it really was.
So beautiful.
And it's also a harrowing story, because the story really revolves around how love is very weird.
But it wasn't preachy either.
It wasn't preachy either. But I also love that it had a very
beautiful.
It has so many layers to it.
Yeah,
so
lots of layers.
There is we don't get told what the gender identity is for Alicia, Allison, I think, and so we know that they, I think it's a safer pronoun to use, is a drag artist, and they are working in this particular area. They describe themselves as South Indian, South Asian. So somewhere in the Asias, looks Indian, from a very conservative family. They're at the club. This man, this cisgender, Caucasian-looking man, walks in to a pub in the United Kingdoms. And he goes upstairs and finds himself in a club, a drag club, where this Indian community is having these these drag shows, falls in love with one of the characters there.
Thinking it's a woman.
Thinking it's a woman until, I think there's a photograph that gets taken of the drag artist, and they have an Adam's apple. Mm-hmm. And that's when he starts going, oh, oopsie. This is not what it seems. Mm. But then the relationship transforms because he finds himself, then we go through like a 20-minute montage of them literally going on dates or what seems like dates. He ends up having to drive Allison around because they don't have, it's not safe for them.
Yeah.
But more importantly, he wants to take his kid to Disneyland and he doesn't have the finances for it. And Allison, the drag artist, says, listen, I make a lot of money. I'll pay you and you can pay towards your son.
Mm.
But there's other layers that come into it. I mean,
I loved it. It's sensitive. It's clever. It's the movie of the times.
I really think it is. And for the first time, the story is not complicated
this is
by...
It's just the movie of the times.
Yeah.
It's such... The timing is perfect for this film.
I was drawn into it and I thought that, oh, you know, again, heavy storylines, you know.
And I want, this is the kind of film you want everybody to see.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, this, can everyone watch this film?
Yeah.
With your prejudice, with your bigotry, we just want you to sit and watch.
And I loved that it was... simply complicated, that makes sense. You know, all the pressure points were there and easily explorable. And it's also one you should really watch and then come back and have a conversation with your people, because what I appreciated was also there was a bit of heartache as well.
It's beautiful.
The drag artist suffers an incident at some point. But we also start seeing just how identity is such a fragile thing, right?
It humanizes.
So much.
The characters so beautifully.
Yeah.
Which is, this is exactly it, right?
Yeah.
These are not caricatures.
Yeah.
These are humans, and that's the beauty of this
and
particular
for me,
film.
Because the trans community is seen from the hierarchy of human beings, it's always put at the bottom.
Yeah.
For me, it's a wonderful way of humanizing and equalizing the human experience, because ultimately we're all human beings.
But what I also liked is while it humanizes the queer community, it also humanizes those who are confused.
Truly.
You know what I mean?
So when I said I was confused, it's because there were moments where I said, okay, so...
how should I be feeling right now?
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's points where he's boy himself, so he's himself as a boy, and he lives a different life, and then there's moments where, as a drag artist, it's a different character altogether. And I was like... am I worried? Am I scared? It was so complicated.
I love that, because I felt like if you yourself are still dealing with the complexities about how you feel about queer people, this is also a movie for you.
Yes, please.
It's not going to tell you you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's not going to judge you. It's just going to allow you to go through your own feelings about what you're feeling about queer people, which is great.
One of the reviewers said what complicates it, especially for cisgender heterosexual males, is that the drag artist is beautiful presenting. It's very, they say female passing.
Yeah.
So they can pass as a beautiful female. Yeah. So none of the...
It's not jarring.
Exactly. And I thought, oh, that's so interesting, because then now we have to talk about what is... the definition of womanhood in the broader sense, right? And who has benefits,
the right to call women.
Yeah, I loved it. Watch with an open
I
mind.
Loved it.
Is in theaters as of tomorrow. It's called Unicorns with an F.
Nick Rabinowitz.
Yeah, he's back.
He's been where?
I love him. I love him because he's going crazy. He is the geriatric millennial. He's coming back to the Theatre on the Square in Sandton, running from the 29th of July all the way to the 9th of August, to Women's Day. So here's what I love about this. I'm a millennial, and there's so many things I sat there, and I laughed myself into a standstill about how we really are the geriatric millennials, because all of us are doing paddle right now. We all have pains and aches. My right knee has been giving me problems for the last 2 weeks. I see my physio more than I see my mom. I need reading classes.
Yes, my word. Do not tell me.
You know what I mean? And I think it's just a wonderful way, because our generation is very obsessed with not aging. You always have to look young, have to be fit. People are doing high rocks, people are running marathons, which is good. We are becoming healthier. But it's wonderful to actually poke fun at aging, because we are going through that, you know. Millennials are mid to late 30, into their 30s towards the mid 40s. And I'm smack bang in the middle. And Pamela, let me tell you.
Are you in the middle?
And I'm going through everything.
You're in the middle of your 30s.
So I'm 36. Okay. So I'm a little over my mid-30s, but everything is going. My right knee is giving me problems. I can't sleep in a particular position for too long. If I stand for too long, I get tired. If I sit for too long, I get tired. If I lay down for too long, I'm too tired. I'm irritable. I don't like people chewing gum around me. Noise makes me angry. I need to pull down the radio to park. I don't trust any technology. I still want to go into the stores, even though I can order things online. When I see kids running around during the day, I'm wondering where are their parents. I am literally becoming my mother every week.
That's funny.
So it's interesting to actually poke holes at that, because we really are the weird generation. So he's at the theater at the square. I'm looking forward to it because, wow, he's talking about me.
Thanks, Leroy. See you next week.
See you next week.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.